Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back, and been looking forward to our guest today. Dorothy Logan's with us. She's the founder of Freedom Academy. She's the author of a fascinating book entitled The Unraveling. The American Fabric Undone. She holds a graduate degree in political science and has served as a professor, worship leader, performing musician, and an organizational coach. By the way, there's a picture of the cover of her book called The Unraveling on the screen there. And Dorothy does have a website, freedomacademy-dorothy.com. And there's a picture of the landing page. Dorothy, good to see you. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm okay if this if all the technology works out.
Well, thank you. You've been very patient this morning. I know our tech team's been working with you. Where are you? Where are we Skyping you in from?
I am in Central Florida.
Okay, good. All right. Well, first of all, tell us about Freedom Academy. What do you do?
This was just birthed out of my frustration in 2020, where I realized people did not understand what freedom is, where it comes from, or why it needs to be protected. And they didn't even understand the vocabulary surrounding that. And so it was kind of born out of that frustration, where I could teach anyone interested in where their idea of liberty actually came from and what it's worth and if it's worth defending.
Great. Good for you. Good for you. And again, let me share to our viewers and listeners, Dorothy's website is freedomacademy-dorothy.com. Yesterday was a big day in American judiciary and the judicial system, and that is the Supreme Court voted 9-0 in their decision that a federal candidate cannot be removed from a state ballot or from the states, especially a president. How significant is this decision in your mind?
This is fairly significant because it demonstrates that our republic and the way it's set up in our Constitution is not quite dead yet. But people don't realize that right after, in 2021, where the Democrats and we're calling for stacking the court, let's add more people to the court because it's leaning too far to the right, it's leaning too conservative, that the Supreme Court actually came out with a number of 9-0 decisions at that time, which basically was a signal to the Democratic Party, to the left, that no, we are not beholden to the party and we want to maintain our own power. We have our own basis of power. And that was actually the Supreme Court signaling that they were going to remain invested in the what I call the artificial conscience that makes up the government of our for the government of the United States. This decision was significant in that in a very highly polarized time, especially about a very emotional, passionately driven emotions about a particular candidate, that they're not going to be beholden to the desires or the majority. And we are not quite yet a democracy in that way. A lot of people, that's kind of my mission right now when we talk about the type of government we have, is we're not designed to be a democracy, yet we are living as one. But this decision yesterday is significant in that there might be hope for us yet to repel that notion.
Is it a major stop sign for radicalism?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that radicalism is actually birthed out of democracy and as well as tyranny. The founders called it a tyranny of the majority for a reason, because it becomes a permanent majority. Unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people, depending on which side of the issue they stand on, this particular issue, Donald Trump, in essence, or the Electoral College, or other ideas of federalism, depending on where they stand on that, they'll interpret this decision in different ways. I don't want people to get too excited about the decision, because there's a lot of ways it could be taken and a lot of area that still needs to be covered in understanding what this means for the future of our country.
To your core interest, do you think in America we have lost maybe the definition and where the lines are between freedom, democracy, and a republic?
Absolutely. And that's, I believe, one of the largest issues we have as a society is that we have all bought into. It doesn't even matter what political party one belongs to, or even people who should understand the difference between those words. But the narrative has been so captured and the messaging is so ubiquitous, it's everywhere, that we have totally confused the ideas and the concepts between democracy and freedom, most importantly, but also this idea of republic and democracy as well, because the counter argument is, well, a republic is just a representative democracy, so we're still a democracy. And that is not necessarily the case. I mean, we are operating that way now, but first of all, very easily said, is that we are the least representative, quote unquote, democracy in the entire world.
So what is the left attempting to do by combining democracy and freedom, making them synonymous?
I believe they desire, and they've been very successful at this, for Americans to equate the two. We want democracy. We have to protect our democracy. There's threats to our democracy. And Americans hear that as there's threats to our liberty, there's threats to our freedom, there's threats to our way of life. We have to protect our way of life. We have to protect our liberties. And they hear it as the same thing. And but the meaning of democracy has not yet changed. It still means the very same thing. And those in power want us to believe in democracy because then democracy makes the decisions. Democracy determines what's right and wrong. Democracy decides what our values should be instead of there being an immutable truth. And an immutable standard upon which to measure those things. The people in charge get to decide those things for us.
The reason I bring that up and seem to stick with it just for a moment is the narrative going into this campaign cycle is that Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. And what I don't hear here is the word republic. So it seems to me that there is an intentional move in the narrative of using the word democracy and making it synonymous with freedom. Or am I misunderstanding this?
No, you are absolutely right. And I think it goes all the way back to when Obama says elections have consequences, right? Because they want the legitimate authority in the mind of the American people to impose upon the loser, the political opposition, whatever punishment or retaliation they see fit. And it doesn't, what do I mean by that? When we talk about a permanent majority, when we talk about democracy, if you go back to the root of the democracy, the father of modern day democracy, Rousseau, essentially, if you lose the election, if your side loses, you actually have no rights. You have no right to your own opinion. You have no right to your own thoughts. You've been proven wrong simply in this vote, right? So essentially, they don't have to guarantee rights to their political opponents. They don't have to guarantee rights to their political losers. And this is very important if you think about, again, what happened after the 2020 election as well, where, well, you lost, let's move on. And then when people look and see what is going on, unprecedented, with using the judicial system to not just take Donald Trump off election ballots, but to kind of go after him and try to make him ineligible to run, or just kind of punishing him using laws in ways that they were never used before, the unprecedented way they're going about this. He was a former president of the United States. This has never been done before. Yet this is exactly what we should have expected if we live in a democracy. A democracy says, you know, you lost, therefore we need to remove you and take you out of the equation. What I find more troublesome, not more troublesome, it's all troublesome, but what I find additionally troublesome is the way the Democratic Party has also been treating Robert F. Kennedy Jr., calling it democracy. That is actually a threat to democracy. They're not allowing the people that choice, and yet they're saying that the simple fact that he's running is a threat to democracy, which in essence it is, because for a democracy to work, there can only be two sides. As long as whenever you throw in, oh, there's an alternate here or an alternate there, then all of a sudden it's much more difficult to get to that majority, and it is a threat to the idea that the winner gets to take all and gets to impose their will on whomever does not agree with them. And it's not just political will. This is talking about values, morals, definitions of right and wrong, and they believe that they would then have the legitimate authority to impose their value system on the rest of the country, regardless of how the 50% voted.
All right, you're fascinating. I'm going to run out of time, but I'm going to get you back. But let me just ask you one quick question. In light of the other question that I asked about democracy, freedom, and republic, also sets up an equation between liberty, freedom, and personal responsibility. That equation now is on the table, and that can only be addressed unless you believe in nature and nature's God. If that isn't part of the equation, then we're just adrift, right?
We are, and that is a much longer conversation, but nature's law is at the foundation of what this country is supposed to be based upon, and it's supposed to be obvious. That's the whole idea about Locke. We're supposed to have the shared meaning, which is a huge part of the book that I wrote, this idea of shared meaning, and it's all based upon, foundationally, upon natural law. And natural law requires liberty as well, individual liberty, as well as individual responsibility. They are two sides of the same coin.
All right. We'll get you back. Let me say to our viewers and listeners, check out Dorothy's book, The Unraveling, The American Fabric Undone. There's a picture of the cover of the book there by Dorothy Logan. Her website is freedomacademy-dorothy.com. And there's the picture of her landing page. You're fascinating. Can we get you back?
Absolutely. I would love to come back.
Thanks for your patience today, and God bless you. We'll make that happen. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.